Today is the fourth Sunday after the Epiphany. The lessons from Sacred Scripture this morning are from Deuteronomy, chapter 18, verses 14 through 20, Psalm 111, and the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 1, verses 21 through 28. Today's message is titled, Remember His Wonders. Deuteronomy chapter 18, beginning at verse 14. The nations you will dispossess. Listen to those who practice sorcery or divination. But as for you, the Lord your God has not permitted you to do so. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own brothers. You must listen to him. For this is what you asked of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly, when you said, Let us not hear the voice of the Lord our God, nor see this great fire any more, or we will die. The Lord said to me, What they say is good. I will raise up for them the prophet like you from among their brothers. I will put my words in his mouth, and he will tell them everything I command him. If anyone does not listen to my words that the prophet speaks in my name, I myself will call him to account. But a prophet who presumes to speak in my name anything I have not commanded him to say, or a prophet who speaks in the name of other gods, must be put to death. Here ends our reading from what Moses wrote in the book of Deuteronomy. Psalm 111. Praise the Lord! I will extol the Lord with all my heart in the council of the upright and in the assembly. Great are the works of the Lord. They are pondered by all who delight in them. Glorious and majestic are his deeds, and his righteousness endures forever. He has caused his wonders to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. He provided food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. He has shown his people the power of his works, giving them the lands of other nations. The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. They are steadfast forever and ever, done in faithfulness and uprightness. He provided redemption for his people. He ordained his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his precepts have good understanding. To him belongs eternal praise. Here ends the psalm. Holy Gospel according to Mark chapter 1, beginning at verse 21. They, that's Jesus and the disciples, they went to Capernaum. And when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Just then, a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit cried out, What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Be quiet, said Jesus sternly. Come out of him. The evil spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, What is this? A new teaching? And with authority. He even gives orders to evil spirits and they obey him. News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. Here ends the gospel. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. O God of unchangeable power, and eternal light look favorably on your whole church, which is a wonderful and sacred mystery. In your eternal foreknowledge, you peacefully do your saving work for humanity. Let the whole world know that things that were cast down are being raised up, and that things that had grown old are being made new, and all things are being restored by Him in whom they have their beginning, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Again, that's from the Gallicium Sacramentariates, from one of the oldest known, one of the first and oldest known liturgical books of the early church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise, hallu. Praise, hallu. Yah, the Lord. Hallelujah. What a wonderful way to begin a poem about praising the Lord, by praising the Lord. Hallelujah, or more familiar to hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you hear that word hallelujah, the sound of voices singing together oftentimes comes to my mind of Handel's Hallelujah Chorus from the Messiah. A wonderful work of praise. The Hallelujah Chorus, the one that so moved King George II at the London premiere, the King stood. And when the King stands, you stand. And so a tradition began. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Handel's Messiah was written in just 24 days. In an amazing burst of inspiration. I say divine inspiration, though some discount that, as Handel wrote many other manuscripts of music in bursts of energy like this. Can you name them? I really can't at the top of my head name them like we can name the Messiah. So divine inspiration. None of them really compare to the impact of the Messiah. And Handel continued to rework and tweak the Messiah. And the divine inspiration continues to be shown by the staying power of this work. For there is eternal power behind the words there in the Messiah. Because these words come from the sacred scripture. The Librato, it has 81 Bible verses from 14 different books of the Bible. Most of them from the prophet Isaiah. Yes, the prophet Isaiah, 21 verses come from Isaiah. Charles Jennens, he was the one that assembled the Bible verses. And he was the one that handed this to Handel and put this to music. And then they reworked the verses, dropping this little bit and switching things around a little bit so that the music fit the words and the words fit the music, and that the words carried the idea of the song, the theme of that song. But all in all, what was written is faithful to the text. They dropped a word or a particular word so that the theme of the music or the fit of the music went in the song. And when that is sung, the power of the verses from sacred scripture, it comes through. Why? Why do we create music? Why do we enjoy singing and listening to music? And the wonder of voices, especially many voices, singing in unison all together and then breaking apart into harmonies and reaching down to that bedrock of the bass to anchor that chord and building up layer upon layer as the voice's pitches grow higher and higher and higher till that soaring soprano reaches that highest note in the highest of heavens. Even the skies above the shepherds were filled with angelic choruses singing above the plains of Bethlehem at the birth of the Savior. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Psalm 111, you don't see it in the English, but it's an acrostic. It's an acrostic in the Hebrew. Not noticeable in the English, but being in an acrostic, there's intentionality there of beginning each subsequent phrase with the next letter of the Hebrew alphabet. This intentionality of creativity is also an act of praising the Lord. The Hebrew alphabet is 22 consonants. Yes, 22 consonants. I had to take a class in Hebrew in seminary, had to memorize the Hebrew alphabet, had to recognize the Hebrew writing, and also remember Hebrews read and written from right to left. So from the back of your book to the front of the book, from the upper right down. I mean, it was challenging. I mean, I had a stack of Hebrew flashcards, and you look at the flashcard. Memorization wrote, and then look at the back. Ah! And finally, I could get the front and the back and go in and could say the words too. That was so long ago, I'm not going to try this morning. But Psalm 111, beginning with praise. And then it marks the declaration and says the decision to praise God. I will extol, I will praise, I will give thanks, I will confess. Those are all possible translations. But it's, I will do this with all of my heart, meaning all of my inner being, all that I am through and through to the deepest part of who I am, my being, all of me, I will use to praise God. Where is the psalmist expressing this praising take place, though? This all of you praising God. The psalmist expresses this praising is to take place in the small group and in the large gathering. I will praise the Lord. As a child, I was always in a children's choir at church. I mean, having little ones singing the faith from the earliest of ages is a blessing. In sixth grade, singing in the children's choir at church, and also, as I shared at other times, I sang in the Prince George's County Chorus in Maryland. I mean, weekly we gathered as fifth and sixth graders from all over the county at an elementary school in Bowie, Maryland. And we performed at many places throughout the year. There's something about singing in a group, assembled together. It brought forth great joy. I enjoyed singing so much that when seventh grade came around, there was no choir at church for junior high. I asked the children's choir director, can we seventh graders continue to sing with you? And we did. We continued singing. I really miss those moments of singing in simple harmonies as a child, then becoming four-part harmonies and even more as growing older. And likewise, I miss playing in a band with all those individual sounds arranged and organized in magnificent music. I mean, playing trumpet for years and then switching to baritone the last 2 years of high school. At times, we had that special music at church. I mean, the associate pastor was a very fine musician. He needed to organize us as an orchestra at church for special times. So all the different high school students from the different areas that were part of the church, there was 20 to 30 of us. A wonderful mix of instruments. We'd play Reformation Sunday, Christmas Eve, Easter morning, the 4th of July. Yes, some John Philip Sousa's on the 4th of July. I mean, musicians coming together, praising the Lord, as it says in Psalm 150. Praise the Lord in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him for His acts of power. Praise Him for His surpassing greatness. Praise Him with the sounding of the trumpet. I did that. Praise Him with the harp and the lyre. Praise Him with the tambourine and dancing. Praise Him with dancing. And praise Him with strings. And praise Him with flute. I mean, praise Him with the clash of cymbals. Now, it's been a while since I heard clash of cymbals in church. I mean, praise Him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Psalm 150. The feeling of being in choruses, that feeling of being in choirs, that feeling of being in bands, being together, all together, making music. Everyone's heart, everyone's worship, that's what it means to praise the Lord in the assembly. That's what we do here together. We're not a band, we're not a chorus, we're not this, but we are the assembly praising together. So everyone's heart, everyone's worship, everyone's whole being is to be brought into this. For the faith is not individualistic. You've heard conversations and you often hear someone say, my faith, or someone say, well, that's your faith. Faith is not individualistic. Faith is the faith of the church. And the church is the gathering together in the assembly. As Psalm 111 says, you gather together in the assembly to praise the Lord. And I mean, gathering together in the congregation, praising the Lord together as one voice, lifting up praises and worship, God who's almighty word. And we just did a few moments ago. It's life transforming, deeply affecting everyone. And it's rooting the faith deeper. And at the same time, binding us together. Binding us together. It deeply affects us. It's about everyone coming together in the assembly. Praise together as one voice in worship. That life transforming. Yes, it is good to have that individual quiet time. The Lord Jesus did it early in the morning, late at night. I mean, it's good. Yet remember when the Sabbath came around, where did you find Jesus and his disciples? In the synagogue. In the assembly, in the congregation, coming together to worship. Mark chapter 1, verse 21. They, that's Jesus and the disciples, went to Capernaum. And when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. In the assembly, a spiritual confrontation took place. Evil. Yes, there are evil spirits. The Bible testifies to this. With a stern word of, be quiet and come out of him, was all Jesus had to say. And it set the man free. But the evil wouldn't simply leave. It violently shook the man and caused the man to shriek. Jesus had just been teaching with authority. The assembly, a kind of authority the assembly had never heard nor experienced before. And now, like adding an exclamation point, is a clear demonstration of this authority and its witness by all those in the assembly in the synagogue on the Sabbath. An exclamation point. Teaching with authority, and now this authority is demonstrated. Right before them. It's witnessed before them. Don't discount this event by trying to minimize the reality of the spiritual realm with scientific sentiments. Doing so misses the moment and diminishes the authority displayed in both the teaching and in the action of Jesus. Mark chapter 1, verse 22. The people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. They recognized something different is happening here. The assembly of those in the faith. They assembled to hear the scriptures and then be taught from the scriptures. What was happening in the synagogue all those years ago as the Jewish people gathered together, it continued with the disciples, and through the years it continues to us, to this very morning. Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. So this gathering in the assembly is a part of the faith. And it has always been a part of the faith. As you saw in the Jewish synagogue that morning in Mark chapter 1, to us here this morning, wonders. A supernatural event that affects all witnessing it. These wonders are portents from heaven brought to earth. The works of the Lord are wonders. Psalm 111, verse 2. Great are the works of the Lord. They are pondered by all who delight in them. Pondered, studied. It literally means to seek the wonders. Psalm 143, verses 5 and 6. I remember the days of long ago. I meditate on all your works and consider what your hands have done. I spread out my hands to you. My soul thirsts for you like a parched land. Selah. Remembering, recalling, meditating, considering the mighty hands of the Lord. The days of long ago, as the books of the Bible declare. Psalm 111, verse 4. He has caused his wonders to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. This is the deep nature of the living God. Gracious and compassionate. When the Lord walked by Moses proclaiming his name, meaning proclaiming who the Lord is, because the name for the Jewish understanding is the name declared the nature and character of the person who was that name given to. So when God, the Lord God, walked by Moses proclaiming his name, the Lord was proclaiming who the Lord is. This happened in Exodus 34, recounts the event, beginning at verse 5. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with him and proclaimed his name, the Lord. And he passed in front of Moses proclaiming, listen, this is the Lord declaring his name, which means is proclaiming his nature most clearly. The Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion and sin. By remembering the works of the Lord, the great overarching flow of events in history recorded in the books of the Bible, by bringing back to the forefront of your thoughts and in your mind these wonders, remembering his wonders help you through the moment, any moment in your life, help you through the moment, no matter what is happening in this moment, praise can flow from the deepest part of you. For deep down, the truth is guiding and directing you, even in those moments, too. This is the Lord. The Lord who is gracious and compassionate is overarching all that has taken place. Doubts in your heart? Doubts in this assembly of faith? In the days of Moses, the Lord gave these words to Moses to write down. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own brothers. You must listen to him. Then Deuteronomy 18, verse 18 says it again. I will raise up for them a prophet like you, a prophet like Moses, a prophet like you from among their brothers. I will put my words in his mouth, and he will tell them everything I command him. Prophets, to give the word of the Lord, to keep the people from straying with words from those who practice sorcery or divination as the nations the Lord was dispossessing for his people Israel. And all that happened long ago, but still even to this day there is sorcery, there is divination. Do not listen to it. It's true. It's happening these days, sorcery and divination. It just happened a little bit ago at the World Economic Forum in Davos. It opened with a witch doctor. Yes, a witch doctor mumbling incantations, even blowing individually in the face of each of the leaders that were on stage, blowing towards the audience in attendance, hexing the stage area. I mean, the reality of the spiritual presence. This is the reality of the spiritual presence behind the World Economic Forum. Contrast this with the events that took place, these events at Davos, the World Economic Forum, with these words of the Lord. Deuteronomy 18, verse 14. The nations you will dispossess listen to those who practice sorcery or divination. But as for you, the Lord your God has not permitted you to do so. Contrast to what took place in these words of the Lord. The Lord God says, I don't permit you to do so. And we heard of the actual reality of the possessed man. Jesus sets free in Mark chapter 1, as we heard the gospel reading this morning. Mark 1, beginning of verse 23. Just then a man in the synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit cried out, What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Be quiet, said Jesus sternly. Come out of him. The evil spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The people were so all amazed that they asked each other, What is this? A new teaching? And with authority. He even gives orders to evil spirits and they obey him. News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. Indeed, the Lord is gracious. The Lord is compassionate. We see it this moment in that synagogue. Setting the man free from evil. Psalm 111, beginning of the second half of verse 5. He remembers his covenant forever. He has shown his people the power of his works, giving them the lands of other nations. The works of his hands are faithful and just, and all his precepts are trustworthy. They are steadfast forever and ever, done in faithfulness and uprightness. He provided redemption for his people. He ordained his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. Praise the Lord for who he is. Who the Lord is always. Remembers his covenant. The Lord always remembers his covenant. The Lord ordained his covenant. The Lord ordained his covenant forever. Faithful and just, precepts trustworthy, gracious and compassionate. The very essence of gracious and compassionate, the very essence of that, became human in the incarnation. This is Jesus, who is teaching with authority. The evil possessed man is set free by the power of the words of Jesus. It is the essence of graciousness and compassion being shown to that man. And that's what has become in the incarnation. This is Jesus, gracious and compassionate and teaching with authority, setting people free. Psalm 111, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his precepts have good understanding. To him belongs eternal praise. The rightful reverence in all before the Lord God is the beginning of wisdom, and it sets one's feet on the path following the Lord's precepts, which are good. It shows us who we are. We are sinners. It reveals who he is, holy. And how much we need his graciousness and compassion. Following his precepts, it puts us on a moral course, gives us a moral compass, places that in your life. And these days, what is happening, this moral compass that was very much present in generations past, this moral compass has been cast aside. And we've seen the results of that. What's happening to people. Later today at home, I encourage you to read Psalm 112. Yes, Psalm 112. Psalm 112, it's an acrostic also. And what is interesting is that Psalm 112 is about the godly person. So 111, praising God. 112, the godly person. Both acrostics. James Montgomery Boyce observed this. The two psalms are obviously matched pair. The first is an acrostic poem about God. The second is an acrostic poem about the godly man. Psalm 112, verse 1, it begins this way. Praise the Lord! Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who finds great delight in His commands. Though we try to be good, we stumble, we fall. We are far from perfect. Gracious and compassionate is the Lord. And it's seen in these words from 1 John chapter 1, beginning of verse 8. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just, and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Continuing into chapter 2 of 1 John, my dear children, I write this so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for our sins, but also for the sins of the whole world. Atoning sacrifice. It means the wages of sin are paid in full by Jesus Christ, and He did it on the cross. And that foreshadowing of that, it was given to Moses. And written about in the books of Moses. It's called the Passover. Because it was at the Passover in Jerusalem, Jesus took bread and said, "This is my body." And at Passover in Jerusalem, on the night He was betrayed, Jesus took the cup and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood." Remember the wonders. Remember the words. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. Jesus set the evil-possessed man free. Jesus heals. Jesus feeds the thousands. Jesus teaches. Jesus walks on water. Jesus calls Lazarus back from the dead to life. Remember the wonders, and especially this wonder, Jesus, the crucified and risen Christ. Jesus is the Christ. Remember the wonders. Remember the wonders, for these wonders flow from the Lord God, who is worthy of worship, worthy of praise. Praise the Lord. Psalm 111, verse 4. He has caused His wonders to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. Remember His wonders. Remember His compassion for you. And live life in worshiping in the assembly the living God. Amen and amen.